Hey, everybody. Let's take our seats and resume our hearing. We are going to move into agenda item number 10, number 11, City of Salinas. Mr. Thomas.
Mr. Chair. Yes.
Mr. Shallcross, that's right. You have a few.
Yeah. In November, I took an interim position with the CSU Monterey Bay Watershed Institute to work on the Carr Lake project. And so I will be recusing myself off of this item to avoid the appearance of bias. But I understand since this is a status report, I can sit up here as long as I'm good. Don't say anything.
But you can't make faces. But you can't make faces.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this item is a status report for the City of Salinas and their progress on compliance with their stormwater management plan, and Dunaway will be making the presentation to the board today.
Okay.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Chairman Young, members of the board. I'm Donette Dunaway. I'm the regional board staff, and I'm here today to give you the second status report on the City of Salinas stormwater permit. And as a background, the City of Salinas is a Phase 1 permittee, which means that we have an individual stormwater permit. They are in their second five-year permit term. We renewed their permit in February of 2005, and at the time that we renewed it, there were a number of large items that needed to be addressed, and therefore the board asked for a status report, which we brought to you in September of 2006. And Chris, could I have the next slide, please?
Dunaette, could you speak a little louder?
Sure. Sorry about that. So in September of 2006, these were the items that we brought to you, and because there were so many concerns, the board asked for a second status report, which I'm bringing to you today. And I put most of my details in the staff report, and I'm not going to rehash those here. I really just wanted to give you a general overview of what's occurred since September of 2006 and then allow you to ask questions, and I'll answer those. So the first item that was of concern, I apologize, was the stormwater management plan, and I need to clarify perhaps what you received in your package in January 31st was the stormwater management plan. And just to make sure that there's no confusion, the name of this document, as it's changed, has been changed over time. And so it's been referred to as the Stormwater Master Plan, the Stormwater Management Program, and the Urban Runoff Pollution Prevention Plan. And all of those titles have been with various iterations of this, but now we're referring to it as the Stormwater Management Plan. So just hoping that's not confusing. In September of 2006, the status was that the Stormwater Management Plan, or the SWAMP, was not final at that time, and it was overdue from when it was required by the permit to be issued to us. The city at that time had planned to release a full Stormwater Management Plan in October. They did release a Stormwater Management Plan at that time, and it was brought to their city council for approval. And we made comments on the stormwater management plan, and we had some concerns with it. The public also made some comments on the stormwater management plan. The city council decided to adopt the SWAMP as it was at that time, and then the city released that document to us. So we received a complete stormwater management plan that we had comments on, and we made comments and discuss back and forth with the city the changes that need to be made with that. And we got updated portions of the swamp, but did not receive a final swamp until January 31st. So the document that you've received is the document that we've received, which is the complete stormwater management plan to date. We still need to review that. It takes about a week for staff to really do a good review of that, so we haven't had time to do a full review of the stormwater management plan. So that's where we are with that now. The second item that was of concern was the annual report and work plan. In September, when we came to you, we had received the annual report from 2004 to 2005, and we had some issues with what was in the annual report at that time and the work plan. The annual report we felt was vague, It didn't have enough details, and it did not have discussions of effectiveness. And discussions of effectiveness have been pointed out as being very important to us, and we've been pointed out to the city during the audit, which we did during the first permit term. What we want is the city to every year look at their program and figure out which best management practices, BMPs, are effective and which ones need to be changed, and then make adjustments resulting from that analysis. So we pointed out that we needed that discussion of effectiveness in there. The annual report also reported on less best management practices than were in the swamp that was effective at that time. And the work plan, we had concerns that it was didn't include enough details. Where we are now is we've received now the next annual report, the 2005-2006 annual report and work plan. We've reviewed that. It is much more detailed. It does include discussions of effectiveness and looks like it's a much better document than the documents we've received in the past. So that's a great improvement. There is also the work plan, which discusses the work that's being done this year now. And that work plan was based on the swamp that was in effect or is in effect now. So it's a little bit behind, lagging behind, because we have this new swamp now, but we're working with that. So we had hoped to have a new work plan to correspond with a new swamp back in September or October, which we didn't have. So we're proceeding forward with that. The next item is the Development Standards Plan, or DSP. In September of 2006, the Development Standards Plan was late, but was in progress. And as you may recall, the board has allowed us to use some grant money to help hire a consultant, Kennedy Jenks, which we do have a representative here today, to work with the city to update their development standards. And these are the standards that deal with construction, new construction, and reconstruction. And we need to have the city bring those into conformance with low-impact development techniques. So Kennedy Jenks has been helping the city look through their development standards and their ordinances that pertain to any construction, and then making comments on how these can align with low-impact development. And that process turned out to be a much more detailed, long, involved process than probably any of us had anticipated at the time. And therefore, it's taken a long time. But I would like to report to you that we have been working very tightly with Kennedy Jenks and with the city. And the city has also been looking at these documents. And we've seen drafts of the technical memorandums and final documents that will all be combined together to go in and become the Development Standards Plan. And we're very, very encouraged with what we're seeing. It's going to be a very detailed, helpful document that the city will be able to use. And we also plan to take this out to the rest of the region. Where we are now is that we expect to get a final administrative draft of the Development Standards Plan within the next couple of weeks, I would say. And the regional board and the city will then look at that draft, hopefully approve it, maybe make comments, make changes, and come down and have a document that we both agree is a good document. Then the next steps, and I want to present this to you all for your comment, if I could, the next steps that we anticipate is that we'll take that draft Development Standards Plan and put it out for a 30-day public comment. And then we'll receive the comments and work with those as we normally do. We'll get a final Development Standards Plan after the 30-day public comment period. And then the next step that we could go to, and this is where I want to present this to you all, is the city can present that to their city council for approval and adoption, which will then be incorporated into their stormwater management plan. And I would presume that the board will also want to see these development standards plans. I don't know if you will want to approve them or how we'll address that. So I want to throw those ideas out because it's a little unclear as to which steps need to occur, how we're going to do this, and let you think that over. So let me just park that in a please think about that pile and move forward with this just for now. So, the development standards plan is in process. It's going to be a good plan. We're very excited about it. The next item is the Quality Assurance Program Plan, QAPP. This document is the document that the city uses that guides them on how to take their water quality samples, the locations to take them from, and when to take them, and so on. In September of 2006, the QAPP had been submitted to us. It was late, but it had been submitted, and we had not had a chance to review it. Since that time, we have reviewed it, we've made comments, and given those back to the city. The city has then written or updated their QAPP and submitted that to us with the January 31st packet. So now we need to look at that again. I would like to point out that even though the city does not have or did not have a QAPP that was adopted, they have gone ahead and done the sampling that was required in the permit, and that's dry weather and wet weather sampling and toxicity sampling. They did need to work through some of the sampling sites, and so they worked with our staff to finalize those sites. So they have been moving forward, despite the fact that we haven't had a document that specifies everything. And I think that they are doing the best job that they can. Finally, the CCAMP, which is our ambient monitoring program, went, and we have a five-year rotation, as you're aware. The five-year rotation happened to land this year in the Salinas area. They were sampling the reclamation ditch, also known as Alisal Creek, and they came up with sample results that were of concern. There were high levels of chlorine, high levels of pesticides, high levels of toxicity, and so we brought this information to the city. And as a result of that, the city and the regional board staff have uncovered what is at least one discharger that was of concern, an industrial site named Man Packing. And the city has gone on inspections with the regional board staff to determine what type of activities are going on at that industrial site. And they have required the facility to enroll in the industrial permit with us. They've required the facility to reroute their industrial runoff water so that it goes to the industrial facility and not to the storm drain areas. The city has also done smoke tests to find out what other type of discharge pipes there may be. It's quite often that in these cities they don't have a very good understanding maybe of the piping system underneath the city, and so sometimes they need to go in and do smoke tests or dye tests to figure out what pipes connect to where. And so they have gone and done that, and they finalized their stormwater drain plan, which you also have received in the January 31st packet. And the city also wrote, with the help of a consultant, a toxicity reduction evaluation plan, which has a few items that we need to correspond with the city on changes. But in the meantime, the city is going ahead and investigating this Man Packing and the industrial areas. They've also issued a letter to the industrial facilities in the Rec Canal area telling them what type of best management practices they should be undergoing so that they don't have illicit or illegal discharges. So they've been active in that. Next slide, please. In September 2006, this was the conclusion slide that I brought to you. At that time, the conclusion was that the permit's timeline may have been ambitious. We knew that there were a lot of items that the city needed to be working on. We came up with a timeline, and there's the possibility that maybe we were just pushing too hard. It's up to question. The city of Salinas, we concluded, had been moving slowly forward. We did issue a notice of violation in September of 2006 with a timeline that we were hoping to help the city accelerate their progress. The city has done a fairly good job with meeting the timelines. There are some caveat discussions I have in the staff report about that. And the Water Board staff, we were optimistic about the development standards plan, the low impact development movement that we have had going forward. Next slide, please. The conclusion that I'll bring to you today is somewhat similar. The city is still progressing forward toward compliance. The pace is perhaps slower than what we would like. Maybe that it's not an uncommon comment, I suppose. We'd love to have things go faster. We also recognize that formal enforcement is an option, and along those lines, we wrote a second notice of violation to the city in January, which outlined the ongoing violations, the days of violation that we understand to have, that the city has, to let them know that we are still paying attention to this matter and that it's a very important matter. At a staff level, we have to make a decision on how we proceed with working with any discharger. And enforcement is always a question versus trying to work with the discharger and keep them moving forward. And in making this decision, do we recommend formal enforcement or not, the main thing that we're looking at is what's going to get us to the point that we'd like to see what our water quality goals, and what's going to get us there the fastest. And as we debate this, we know that the city, we understand that the city has limitations on their resources, on the manpower and so on, and our staff has limitations as well, and so we understand if we go towards a formal enforcement, that's where the resources are going to go, and will it take away resources from the other items, the programs which I've mentioned before, which direction we want to go, what's going to get us there fastest. At this point, we have chosen not to recommend formal enforcement. We will certainly be watching and paying attention to the actions the city has, particularly with putting forward their stormwater management plan, stormwater management program, the items in there, and the development standards plans. So we will recommend enforcement if that is, it seems like that's the best option. At this point, I do not recommend enforcement. And that concludes the summary that I put together. I would like to open this up now to your questions.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Dr. Press.
As to your point about enforcement now or later, formal enforcement, I get the sense that there has been a lot of activities, especially recently. I'm very encouraged by what you're saying about the development standards plan. That's really exciting. That's something that needs to happen. The notion that we might get low-impact development standards incorporated into land use decisions at this level is really very positive. So I would like to support the notion that we don't slow things down, that we don't get the development standards plan for a formal adoption to us. You're already telling us that you're very excited about this this plan. You have a very good consultant working on it. I'd like it not to have to get calendared into some board meeting and then go to the city and so on. I'd like to get it out there right away. If you're asking whether the board thinks that enforcement right now needs to happen, it seems to me from the flurry of materials submitted, there's positive activity. So I would conclude that the balance of time effort is in favor of continuing to see what comes from the city. And I would say let's not go with a formal enforcement action right now. Let's review what the city has done. Of course, if you don't like it, if you're very concerned with what you have in the plan or in the QAPP, then by all means, sure, we can come back with that. But right now, I'm heartened by this progress, excited by the development standards plan. So I'd like to just keep going and get more. I'd also not want to wait another year for a status report. Of course, we've heard from you in September as well, but I would prefer to hear sooner, but take the enforcement, you know, light approach right now.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Preston, did you have a chance to read the city's January 30th letter?
I did.
On the technical memo?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I read the whole thing, and you know, I understand that there are delays and so on, but there's also a lot of progress. So on the balance, on balance, I think that we're moving ahead. We're not. It's certainly not a stagnant situation. It's not like nothing's happened, especially in the last few months. So, I'd say full steam ahead.
Okay. Any other board questions for staff at this time? We are going to.
Well,
I
don't have any questions, Mr. Chair, at this particular time. But I just want to echo some of my colleagues' support to the initiative of not proceeding with a violation at this particular time. And being a resident of the city of Salinas, I understand the financial situation of the city. And I am very, very concerned that we do not use dollars that would be needed to complete this plan and move on with the violation or a fine. I am concerned with the annexation that's going through the LAFCO process now with the new ordinances and the new regulations being placed that would deal with the stormwater plan, that we would have those completed, hopefully, by that particular time, because I think that's critical to their whole plan and to the end results of the stormwater discharge through the city of Salinas.
Absolutely.
But I'll wait. I know the mayor is very anxious to address us and the city attorney, so I'll hold any other questions until I hear from them.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions? I'm going to hold my comments and questions until we hear from everybody, and then I'll weigh in. Okay. Thank you,
Thanks.
Danette. Okay. Mr. Mayor, did you want to lead off and address the board?
I do. I was getting my instructions to be introduced, but I'll...
Okay.
I'll just break ranks and
all right,
do
yeah.
it myself.
All right. We're not going to.
I have to admit, I like that phrase "enforcement light." I'm going to use that somewhere down the road. I'm not sure where, but it'll come up somewhere. Good morning. My name is Dennis Donahue. I am the mayor of Salinas, and I'm pleased to welcome you here this morning. And I just want to make a couple of quick points. Salinas is committed to meeting its requirements in this matter, and I certainly appreciate the concerns that you do have. Our fiscal challenges have been no secret. On the other hand, you can't hide behind them forever, and I think you have quite properly picked up. The good news is this is a city on the move again, and we will move as fast as we can, and I'm sure you can appreciate from my perspective it's a little bit of a balancing act. But I think what's important about why you're here today is, you know, when I ran for mayor, I talked about imagining a great city, and I said there were three elements to that: prosperity, peace, and image. Now, there's a lot of technical aspects involved in why you're here today, but we understand part of our image does have something to do with quality. And as a member of the grower shipper community, I certainly understand water quality is a discussion in the news and has a great deal to do with our economic viability. So for me, image is a cold, hard economic reality also. So we are properly incentivized to get this done as quickly as we can. We understand our proximity to the marine sanctuary and that it's important we do our job in this area. So I do want to assure you we understand the importance. It benefits Salinas to respond in a timely fashion. It bodes well for our economic future to do so. And so we do not take it lightly. It is admittedly a challenge, but I can assure you we are engaged, and city staff is looking closely at it, and we're going to try and meet our requirements in as timely a fashion as we can. Beyond that, I just once again want to welcome you to Salinas, and I'm not used to taking questions per se in this setting, but usually when I look at somebody here, I give them 3 minutes, and I'm real quick on that. But if you do have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. With that, I'll.
I do have some questions,
okay.
and I didn't run the clock off
okay.
of your attorney's
All right,
time.
Fair enough.
Okay, but I just wanted to make sure that you know, hopefully you share or at least understand kind of a goal that we would have as an agency. And I'm looking, and Mr. Jeffries referred to this. This is in Chapter 4 of your stormwater management plan. It's exhibit, it's Figure 4.4, and it shows us the future growth.
Right.
It's anticipated around the city.
Yes.
And there's this band that kind of goes north to northeast and east.
Right.
And it would be ideal, you know, to be able to get, you know, low-impact development standards in place.
Right.
Ahead of that curve, that building curve. And so that's where we're coming
sure.
from. That would be tremendous progress.
Right. Well, I can assure you one of the things I have made very, very clear, you know, on one hand, you know, rhetorically I talk about imagining a great city and visions are good, but there is a practical application of how you get there. And the future growth area, very, very frankly, is the centerpiece of beginning to put the necessary infrastructure in for this community to get moving again. And so that project has our full attention, and that we want to do everything we can do to get through the LAFCO process in an expeditious fashion. So with that in mind, and knowing you're attentive, you can be rest assured we're attentive, because I've been very, very clear. In fact, I deliberately laid down a public marker as a challenge to the city and to all the other agencies that we deal with and to the business community. Make no mistake, the future growth area must move through the LAFCO process in a timely fashion. That's an important signal to the investment world and to the business community. So, you know, with that in mind, anything that has your attention has my attention.
Well, okay,
and we want to be ahead. We do not want to be reacting when we're in front of LAFCO that, oh, we didn't get something done.
Well, it does make it easier.
Yeah,
you
easier is a good word.
Low-impact
like
development standards
yeah,
ahead
no,
of the
I
curve.
No, I appreciate that.
Then it's there, and it's a
right.
done thing.
No, and our whole strategy is to anticipate and get out in front of every issue that could be a potential obstacle to a timely approval, because we're trying to move through in a appropriately expeditious fashion, where, you know, we're going to hopefully be through the LAFCO process by the end of the year. So we're engaged.
Okay.
I'd like to just add that on your themes of prosperity, the water quality issues, of course, are not going to just be image ones in new right. development. Low-impact development increasingly around the country is demonstrating cost savings,
right.
Both capital cost savings and ongoing O&M savings. So as you sell this to the your constituents, I would direct the attention to the cost savings here. I'm sure these are newer ways of doing things, and people resist, and there's uncertainty about that. But we've gone down this road far enough now around the country that we know that there really are a lot of cost savings here. So.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, I think there's no question this is a community that's going to have to look at things in new ways. So I appreciate that point. And, you know, I'm just frankly getting familiar with this issue, and some of the technicalities are, you know, I'm glad I have good staff. But you know, as we went through the presentation the other night at council, you know, I begin to realize, you know, in some respect, when you first encounter it, it's obviously burdensome. But on the other hand, I think there's an opportunity here, and that's the angle I'm really going to begin to very seriously push, and I appreciate those comments. Good.
Okay. Any other questions for the mayor? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll have to make note of that precedent. You can't go over 3 minutes. Thank you again. We appreciate you being here.
Okay. Ms. Vallarta.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. My name is Vanessa Vallarta. I'm the city attorney for the city of Salinas. I'd also like to echo the mayor's welcome to you. It's always a pleasure to have a regional agency visit us and actually see where we live. And there might even be a few puddles on the ground. Noted this morning. We've got a short presentation. I want to also thank the mayor very much for his comments, and I want to assure the board that the work that we are doing on this permit is very, well, first of all, has been moving apace. will continue to move apace in the next weeks and months and will certainly be in place before there's any sticks in the ground in the future growth area. And indeed, we're just, you know, we're actively reviewing and discussing many of the finer points and aspects of what it means to do low-income development in our city. So I think it is an exciting project for us to be here. I'd like to begin sort of echoing what Danette outlined, which is just sort of a quick snapshot of where we have been and what has been accomplished. As was pointed out, the NPDES permit was approved in February of 2005, and Salinas has the distinction of being the first, and as I understand it, only Phase 1 permit issued in the your Central Coast region. So we are sort of a guinea pig or a trial pilot project, if you will. In September of 2005, I think everybody understood that the scope of this permit was such that some professional assistance would be helpful. And the board recognized that, the staff did, discussed it with the city recognized it, and we agreed at that time in the fall to work collaboratively with a regional board consultant. Thereafter, there was a process of an RFP and selecting that consultant, and we're pleased, of course, that the board approved the funds in order to retain Kennedy Jenks to provide consulting services to Salinas around a variety of issues, but really focusing on the development standards plan and low-income development standards, low-impact. In September, you were back in Monterey County. You met in Monterey, and a few days prior to that meeting, there was the first notice of violation. I think at that time, the city really hadn't had an opportunity to fully assess the notice at that time. And I have to say, we have come quite a distance since the fall of 2006 to where we are today. There was a second notice of violation in January. That was slightly unexpected, I have to confess. We thought that we were just going to get an amended notice of violation, but in any event, a second notice came out. It mainly pertained to the SWMP, the Stormwater Management Plan, and I'll be addressing the notices in a moment in a little greater detail. And here we are today, almost 2 years later. So that's... But there's been, as I think the staff recognized in their presentation, quite a bit of movement. I'd also like to just introduce you to the Salinas group that really has been tackling this. And this has taken us a little bit of time, too, to figure out who exactly in the city needs to focus on implementing this quite complex permit. And I think now I'm happy to report that we have really... a very good working group that is meeting on a regular basis, sometimes weekly, for a few hours at a time to review and make sure that all the pieces are working together, because this is a permit that really impacts so many different departments in the city, kind of on a practical level. So the group is, and I'm just going to ask everybody to wave or give a or stand up. You've met me. Christopher Callahan, our senior deputy city attorney, has... been very active on this. Rob Russell, our deputy city manager, city engineer. Carl Nisawa, our deputy city engineer. Denise Estrada, maintenance services director. Michael Ricker, our water resources planner. And also, in the audience, is our city manager, Dave Mora, who's also been instrumental in helping guide the process. An adjunct to our team has really been the Kennedy Jenks group, of which Chris Conway has been is the principal planner assisting us, and Chris is also with us today. Okay, I'd like to focus for a moment on some of the key permit activities in the year, in the first 2 years of our permit, which is where we are, and then I'll be addressing the notices of violation and how we have addressed the areas of concern. The key activities were the review and modification of the stormwater management plan. Interestingly, the plan, when I was reviewing the permit this week again, uses this language, review and modify. And it's almost like when we first launched into this project, we thought, oh, we're just going to be, crossing out a few things and sort of updating our existing SWIM. And what really has occurred is that has gone in the trash heap, and we have had to completely rewrite the whole thing. And staff has rightly asked questions, how are you going to do it, when are you going to do it, how are you going to measure it, how are you going to determine the effectiveness, and we have, as a result, literally had to start from scratch to the point where now I'm happy to report we have the beautiful document that you received hopefully last week. Another key project area was the development of a quality assurance program, the development standards plan that has been mentioned, which is, again, sort of a very complex document. It's developing a plan, and then it's implementing it into the city's legal structure. How are we going to get it into our ordinances, get it in so that it's before developers as they're pulling permits and so on. And so it's, and I think the board also has the ambition to create a plan that might be helpful in other jurisdictions. And that's sort of, so we're almost talking about three separate steps with this single item alone. Also very important, the implementation of the best management practices, the BMPs for municipal maintenance. The continuation of the water quality sampling, testing, and monitoring, major activity. The continuation of public education and outreach, very important. The annual report and work plan, and the toxicity reduction program. If you look at attachment 6 to our permit, there's 17 items. We've identified these as kind of some of our key focus areas. In addition to those items, and I haven't mentioned the inventorying and the inspections and a whole bunch of other stuff, but in addition to that, we've been actively collaborating with Kennedy Jenks. And this, the last year, and especially the last 6 months, there's been a lot of activity around these three technical memoranda. And I know the chair referenced the January 30th letter that addressed one of them in detail. Technical memorandum number 1, which was the Kennedy Jenks review of the city policies and procedures, such as the grading stormwater ordinances, other plans and policies. Technical memorandum number 2, which has also been prepared in conjunction with the consultants in the city, is a very important document. It's the technical review of LID parameters. And there was a review of surface soil and shallow groundwater conditions and the feasibility of infiltrating urban runoff. This really was a key technical document, very important document that kind of is going to guide us as we move into the development standards plan and other documents. A third technical memorandum that was completed and is really still ongoing is the Memo 3, the model LID ordinance that I alluded to earlier, which is another ambitious component of the Salinas program. So those are some of the items that we've been additionally working on this year. Next slide, please. I'd like to address where we are then on the key items that were highlighted in the first notice of violation that was issued in September, and the areas that were flagged in that notice of violation were several, but these were the key ones. The stormwater management plan delays, the technical memorandum number 1 was also mentioned, the development standards plan, LID standards, and what we had or had not done there. The annual report and work plan, there were complaints about that, and the toxicity reduction program and quality assurance program plan. We responded to this. I'm going to go over some of this, but if I just wanted to refer to our January 31st letter to the board that explains where we are on these items. Next slide, please. So on the first item, the storm I think we need to go back, Carl, to seven. Thank you. On the stormwater management plan, where are we? As staff mentioned, the plan was completed and posted for an initial public comment period. The draft plan was posted on September 1st for a 30-day comment period. The plan was also presented to the City Council in October of 2006, and at the time of the presentation to the Council in October, we, in our staff report, addressed the comments that we had received during the 30-day comment period. And those comments had been received from NRDC, from the Otter Project. We did not receive the board staff comments until the day of the council hearing, so we weren't able to respond to that in October, but we attempted to thereafter. It's been a, how can I say it? It's been a challenge. The work on the SWMP has been a challenging one because as we get comments or partial comments and attempt to respond to them, there's been sort of a cycle. I think we're now at a good point because we have now come forward where, and actually let's just go ahead to the next slide. Staff revised the SWMP again in November based on the comments from the nonprofits and from your board staff. And then we received further there was additional dialogue with the regional board staff and written comments received in December and then followed by the notice of violation in January. So in response to all of that, the city came back, revised it again. The board requested, give us a complete version of this document with all the appendices and your best shot at integrating the comments that you've received to date. And so we did that. And that's what you received this past week on January 31st. I want to also mention it's been posted. The SWMP has been posted on the city's website, and we hope that the regional board will consider the document adequate enough to post it on your website so that we can enter the kind of statewide or regional public review and comment period. A second area of concern that was identified that I'd like to also respond to is in the first notice of violation was technical memorandum number one, which, as I mentioned earlier, is the memo that's reviewing the city plans, codes, and ordinances. The NOV required that the city respond to tech memo number one within 30 days of receipt. The document was completed by Kennedy Jenks in collaboration with city staff, and we received it on December 31st. And the city complied, I think, with this component of the NOV, and we submitted comments to the board and staff on January 30th. A third area that was identified in the notice of violation was the development or design standards plan. The NOV required us to deliver this document by December 15th, 2006. The challenge was that we weren't completely in control of when the document was going to be completed, as you've heard, and we were working with the regional board's consultant, Kennedy Jenks. The work, as you've been briefed, is ongoing, and it really is a complex and evolving area that has proven a little bit more challenging, but I think everybody really is encouraged and working on completing this. So at this point, Mr. Conway can comment on this if the board wishes, just give you an update on where he's at. But the document is underway, and once we do receive it, we will be developing a timeline for completion of that document, but I anticipate it will be in 2007. The annual report and work plan. This was completed by staff and submitted to the board staff on September 29, 2006. The work plan, I have to agree with the staff's comment that you kind of need to look at the work plan in conjunction with the SWMP, and now that we've updated the SWMP, and you'll see in the SWMP there's some very detailed tables that have what the permit requires, what we intend to do, by when we intend to do it, who's going to do it. So I consider that pretty much the work plan, and that was submitted to you on January 31st. So I think that that's under control. The final items that were also referenced in the notice of violation, the toxicity reduction program was completed in collaboration with Pacific Eco Risk and has been submitted, and we have been working closely with the regional board staff on certain of the exceedances and specific issues and provided a report on the Airport Boulevard matter on January 5th. The quality assurance program plan, again, we've collaborated with Pacific Eco Risk on that, and that's been submitted to the board staff on January 31st and also posted to the city's website. Water quality monitoring was completed in collaboration with Eco Risk, and the final report was submitted to the regional board staff on January 5th. So, actually, if we could just go back for a second, Carl. So if you look at the notice of violation, I would submit that we really have responded or addressed every single item that is mentioned in the NOV. So certainly any kind of enforcement action is not appropriate at this time. And indeed, I think the NOV should, the board should maybe consider amending, rescinding, whatever the appropriate step is to recognize the progress that has, you know, the compliance, if you will, with many, if not most, aspects of the NOV. Okay, the final slides. The next steps. Here's sort of what we're going to be focusing on in the next 3 to 6 months. We want to revise and bring forward to our council for adoption the revised grading ordinance and the revised stormwater ordinances. This, again, is building on the tech memo, building on a lot of the work that has been ongoing in the past year. In the next 180 days, we hope to adopt the City Development Standards Plan. And I hope that this timeline is, and I believe it is, consistent with what the staff was outlining. We anticipate that city and board staff will comment on the draft DSP within 3 weeks of receipt of the plan from the consultants Kennedy Jenks. We will finalize that document for public review. We intend to have a local public review, comment, and workshop around the LID standards, and then bring it forward to the council for adoption. Also, by the end of the year, we hope to revise, or we will revise and adopt the City of Salinas standard specifications, design standards, and standards plans, which is a kind of a technical document that we also use in our development and engineering department. And our final slide. We've come a long way since February of 2005. As our city resources and finances permit, we will be adding additional resources to this effort and incrementally add to our capacity. Right now, staff is recommending at the mid-year budget review that we add a environmental compliance inspector and that we add an additional street sweeper, which are areas that we know will contribute to the implementation of the permit and our compliance with requirements. We also need to acknowledge, I think, that the timelines have been a little aggressive and perhaps not that realistic. I understand the need to move forward, but to do a SWIMP for a city of this size and complexity in 180 days was, I don't know what we were thinking when that was adopted. But so I hope that we can be more realistic as we set out some time frames. I would request that the board consider the enforcement light option or that the NOVs be revised or rescinded. And finally, we really do look forward to our continued collaboration and dialogue with the board, with the staff, the consultants, and all the other regional agencies that we need to work with to implement the permit. Thank you. And I'm here to answer questions, and of course I've got my my team with me that can answer all the really hard questions.
Okay. Board questions? Dr. Press?
Could you elaborate a little bit on the development standards plan When you say adoption by City Council in the next 6 months, could you specify or elaborate on what that means? Because what I would like to know is when these excellent development standards, these LID standards, have been identified and put into a plan, what I want to know is how quickly will new development have to, I don't mean elect to, but have to, this is where it's enforcement, not light, but enforcement, you know, full strength enforcement. At what point will they have to comply with these LIDs or development standards?
And I think we're still, and I'm going to probably ask Rob to address that partly because I know he's currently already actively discussing some of this stuff with the development community.
Okay.
That's going to be building a lot of these residences and other structures in the future growth area. But just from a legal standpoint, we need to consider what the best way, you know, clearly we're going to be adopting some ordinances. So ordinances are effective 30 days from the second time we, you have the introduction, the adoption, and then 30 days thereafter. So it's there's that method, if you will, of integrating it into our statutory city set, you know, local city statutory structure. But the it could also, the LID standards I could also see as being adopted by resolution, which would be, the council just recognizes these are the standards. Standard guidelines, if you will.
I'm looking for the teeth and for when the teeth start biting, basically, because because adoption by the city council could, I don't know what it means for you. It could mean that the city council adopts the development standard plan, says this is a good plan, we're going to attach it to our stormwater management plan. But if there's a subsequent set of ordinances, as you say, to bring it into the legal fabric of the city's land use laws, that could potentially be many more months or years before that happens, depending on how these things go. So I'm just trying to get a sense of what that really means.
Once the council has an opportunity to review and accepts the standards as the city standards, that it is effective as of the time that the council accepts those standards and has teeth, is effective immediately. So I certainly don't see a 3-year delay at all. And in fact, I think it's underway. So I'll let Rob say a few words about that.
Thank you.
Simply put, we will have development standards before the North of Boronda. Bottom line, it's happening today. We have a 42-acre shopping center. All of that has incorporated low-impact development strategies. Those strategies are generally consistent with what Kennedy Jenks is coming up with. It's what Contra Costa uses. We're actually utilizing treatment trains, is what they call. So they're actually treating on-site using biofiltration systems, using low-impact development strategies. Whatever does come off the site is actually going into another retention detention basin for a secondary treatment. We are looking and actually have a TAC that is meeting for the new growth area. It's comprised of roughly 3 engineering firms that do low-impact development and have done this throughout the state of California. They are taking those technologies. They have introduced those to us on what their concepts are. They, too, are looking more at a treatment train where at the source, we want to take a look at each lot individually and say, what can we do on that lot? Understanding some of that will run off and go into a secondary treatment and then having a more regional. And the reason we like the regional is because typically those can be maintained through a maintenance district where we have control over that. And I know that was a concern last time we talked over in Monterey. How can you make sure these new 20,000 lots are going to comply? And that is the beauty of having kind of a maintenance district, and we have that control over that. But we do have the 42-acre. They are using low-impact development strategies right now. We have the teeth. We are utilizing the teeth. The North of Boronda development area and the future growth area have got discretionary entitlements that they need and low-impact. They are fully aware that they have to have low-impact development strategies to meet the NPDES obligations.
And how are you mandating that? if you haven't updated your ordinances.
We have NPDES obligations. And in order to meet those, right. low-impact development, Mr. Briggs has given us a letter that has stated that this meets the maximum extent practicable. And so we have provided that to those and said, and basically to our development community and said, you need to technically justify how you are complying with this in accordance with the information we're getting from the regional board staff that low-impact development meets that.
And you're giving that letter to all of your
Absolutely. And that's the 42 acres over there.
Right.
That's an 8-acre site that we've got in a shopping center on Barond and Sanborn. That's a redevelopment project we got over in Tynan Village. That's a redevelopment project we have over for a senior housing project. We are implementing this stuff.
It would be great the next time we have a review, and I'm not sure when that will be. I would like to see some photographs.
Absolutely.
Of this, because it's helpful and it's educational and...
And it was fully my intent. Unfortunately, the it looks like a construction project right now. And so you really wouldn't see the biofiltration systems, and you really don't see those until really your parking areas are there, your biofiltration systems are there, because it looks like a pipe sticking out of a ground with a lot of sand down a trench.
Well, then you have the opportunity to take pictures while it's being constructed and
Absolutely.
Installed. So
Absolutely.
I like seeing those also,
Okay.
besides the final product.
We will do that.
Yeah, okay. That sounds great.
Mr. Chair, I think yes. that some of the question, excuse me, that Dr. Press was trying to ask was the is the legal procedure, and I think that probably well, you can address it, Rob, I'm sure, or the city attorney can. There's a normal process that you would go through in a city is which probably go through the Planning Commission, then you have a public hearing with the city council, and there's a certain period of time there's process for someone to appeal the process that's going forward. And I think that those some of those are unknown because somebody could appeal, it could wind up in courts, and that would take some particular time. How are you going around your present ordinance to implement what you just got through saying?
I'm not sure we're actually going around any of our ordinances, and we have modified, for instance, we've modified the zoning code to better allow. I mean, for instance, we used to say you had to put concrete curbs all over everywhere, yet we're trying to flow into landscaped areas. Well, if I put a 6-inch curb, the water's not going to get in there. So there are some adjustments we've made with our zoning code. But quite from my perspective, we're fully compliant right now. There's nothing in our existing standards that preclude us from implementing these low-impact development strategies. I'm not sure I'm fully under or fully answering your question, but there's nothing right now that is precluding us from doing this. The discretionary permits that come through, we say as a condition of development, you have to do low-impact development.
Each precise plan that's submitted, that, then you're implementing these requirements on those particular plans.
Yes.
My next question would be, you alluded to, because I brought up the question in the Monterey meeting about how are you going to monitor or enforce the actions of the developers and the residents that acquire the properties in the future years. And I brought up the point of CC&Rs really don't work. And you mentioned the maintenance development agreements. How is that different from a CC&R, and how are you going to enforce those?
The difference between, from the maintenance standpoint, we the city of Salinas, have control over the maintenance districts. We oversee those. And so all of the property owners pay into that, and then typically the contract is let by the city of Salinas. And so, again, we supervise, we oversee, we manage what happens in that regard. The complexity, and I got to tell you, we've talked to other local agencies with regards to how do you go lot by lot by lot and ensure that those are enforceable. And quite honestly, we can't find any local agencies that say this is how we go lot by lot by lot. And that is a challenge, and those are things that we will continue to look toward.
Well, and again, I brought this up in Monterey where people, after they purchase their home, they have a tendency to change the landscaping as well as they concrete over areas that are supposed to be in vegetation for percolation and those type of things. And I think that's a concern that I would have, and that goes right into the stormwater runoffs.
Right.
if they continue to do those type of actions, then everything, I wouldn't say everything that would be put into place to enact this program is going to go by the side, because then you have the violations of individual property owners.
Absolutely, and I don't have answers for you, and those are things that we will have to continue working on over the next 6 months. And I'd like to just real quickly on the development standard plans for the low impact, it was our understanding in our working with the Regional Quality Control Board staff members that basically Mr. Conway and the Kennedy Jenks would come up with essentially a model that could be utilized by all the Central Coast region agencies. And once either you had blessed it or you were comfortable with that, we would take that document and then make some minor adjustments to address nuances particular to the city of Salinas. Our soil types are a little different, and so there's geotechnical and geological issues that may not necessarily line up with the city of Monterey or maybe Santa Barbara or something like that. So it was our intent to take a look at that, see if there was any massaging we need to do, not a significant amount of massaging because we think it's coming on pretty much what we're implementing right now, and then get that into a public participation process so at least our development community can take a look at it, understand what they're going to be required to do, get this in front of council and get it adopted. I think that this can happen very quickly. Hopefully we can even beat the 6 months. It really just depends on when that model ordinance gets to you folks, and it is a complicated issue.
I don't recall, and perhaps we should ask staff, what the contractor was supposed to do. Was it a generalized development standard for Region 3? Was it supposed to be specific for the city of Salinas?
Right.
You know, I've read the letters, and there's a letter here from Mr. Russell in our packet. So it looks like there's a little bit of a disconnect maybe in what was produced, what was expected to be produced. There's some claims that it's the majority of the recommended modifications either duplicates existing city codes, ordinances, and standards, or simply adds editorial comments.
We have ongoing dialogue, and Chris Conway, if you want to correct anything I'm saying, but we were talking about this just this morning, actually. What we are looking at receiving right now, the drafts that I've been seeing have specific Salinas-specific information in it. So we have a development standards plan. It discusses the Salinas groundwater, soils, etc., conditions that are in that. So that document's already been and is being produced now. That's what we've been looking at in the technical memorandums. That will be will be combined to become the development standards plan.
Was it meant to be specific for Salinas?
Yes. And this is actually separate from the city's process. So the city will receive this. That's in process now. So what we'll get hopefully in the next week or two will be the Salinas-specific document. Then we can work with Kennedy Jenks to go ahead and edit out portions that are Salinas-specific, and that can then go out to the rest of our region. So that's actually a separate action that shouldn't slow Salinas down at all. It's a little tricky as to know how to do this, but since we've got everything electronically, we can do this. It shouldn't be a problem. But it should not slow down the city, because we've already got the Salinas-specific information in there. Does that work?
Yes.
As an answer? Chris, are you... That makes sense? Or is... Yeah, okay.
So this is going to help all of our other Phase 2 permits?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That is absolutely the long-term plan, is to take this as a model and bring it to the other permittees, the other MS4s, and say, look, here's something that can get you kick-started, jump-started. This is what we need to see done, and work from there.
Donette, have you had a chance to read Mr. Russell's January 30th letter?
Yes.
On the technical memo number one?
Yes.
Okay. He is stating that the city is going to incorporate some of the Kennedy-Jenks standards or modifications into a number of different documents.
Right.
And he lists them. Have you had a chance to kind of contemplate that? Is that
yes.
what we would expect?
We would.
I mean, we got the stormwater ordinance, the grading ordinance, standard specifications, design standards, standard plans, the zoning code, the general plan,
right.
stormwater master plan.
Which, I guess, as I was listening to you speak, Rob, this question came up, which was you made the statement that there was nothing precluding low-impact development currently, which is why you can require that. And yet, the disconnect in my head is if the Kennedy-Jenks has identified areas that need change and the city has said, yes, we'll do those changes, that tells me that there is something that is not meshing with low-impact development. So I'm a little confused on the statement of there's nothing that precludes this, and yet we need to make some changes so that we can do low-impact development. And that, you know, maybe you can address that and clarify for me if that's all right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think there's a disconnect. I think most of what we have does not preclude the LID. The technical memo one we got from Mr. from Kennedy-Jenks basically is just from our perspective seems to be how do I put this. Let me give you, for instance, on the zoning code, he had several recommendations to be installed in our zoning code, probably 20 different areas of the zoning code. The zoning code was actually adopted by the Salinas City Council in November, became effective in December. One of the sections, and I'm not sure if he was looking at a dated edit on the zoning code or not, but what we've tried to do is put the low-impact development standards in one location so that from a developer standpoint, you go to that source, you got your answers. And I don't have to go to the zoning code and to this code and to that code and to that code and to that code. So in the zoning code, what we have is a performance standards that is, and this is on page 2 of my letter, and I'll try to be very brief, stormwater and water quality management, parking lot site design, all new and improved development shall conform to the city's NPDES permit requirements. Most recent addition adopted by the State Water Quality Control Board. Requirements also include those containing the most recently adopted Salinas design standards, development standards, grading ordinance, stormwater, and stormwater management discharge ordinance. Measures to reduce surface runoff from individual sites, encourage low-impact development strategies design, and ensure high-quality water discharges, therefore, shall be included in all site designs to meet the goals, objectives, and standards of the city's NPDES permit. We thought that was pretty tight that says that's what you got to do to meet your NPDES obligations, and then we put the specific obligations and standards in a document that can then be referenced. Quite honestly, that's easier for the development community as opposed to trying to figure out which document you're supposed to read through. Same holds true with the grading ordinance. We think there's some good edits, and we certainly don't have a problem including those, especially in the grading and the stormwater. We think those are real quick, and let's get those done and get them adopted. With regards to the zoning code, we just did the zoning code, and we would happy to entertain maybe a little more emphasis on some of the NPDES, but that is a current obligation of new development.
Rob, are you trying to tell me that this supersedes any ordinances that are on the city's books at this point in time that you haven't changed?
Is this
what you're going to developers and saying this is what you've got to go by and not the ordinances that are currently in place?
I think there's a presumption that there's a conflict between ordinances.
Well, I know that there's a process that you have to go through to change the ordinance to make this consistent.
Right. And this process was actually a year and a half where we worked with the business development community for the overall zoning code, and included with that was the NPDES compliance obligations, and included in that zoning code is that requirement right there that says thou shalt conform to the water quality requirements.
And has that ordinance been passed by the City Council?
It did so on November, and it's in effect.
Okay. And then all development codes have been changed to reflect all the NPDES requirements?
No.
And you're in the process of doing that?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's, you know, that's what I was driving at.
Okay.
Now, my concern in reading this paragraph is that, first off, it simply refers to the city's permit. And if you then would look at the city's permit requirements, you wouldn't really see the LID standards, I believe, specified in the permit itself. You know, you would see references to your development standards. And then you refer to other standards, the Salinas design standards, the development standards, the grading ordinance, the stormwater management plan. These are other documents that somebody would have to go through and then cull out what is LID.
The development standards plans, the LID standards that are being developed by Kennedy Jenks, are really going to be our meat and potatoes.
Okay, and that's going to be a standalone document.
Yes.
That will be available to anyone applying for a permit.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, any other board comments?
Well, I just a comment. I do know that the city has been working very quickly, and I know that they have a team set up to expedite this as quickly as possible, and I applaud them for doing that. We know it, you know, I know it takes time in the city process, being the former mayor of this city, or any city. There's a process that you have to go through and to make sure it's correct under the government standards and so forth. And I am a supporter of what the city is doing, and I hope that we can utilize portions of this, and the staff has alluded to that, because up and down this valley, Salinas Valley, every city has a annexation in with LAFCO. And I would like to be able to have this wrapped up, that we could pass that on to the county as well as to the other cities in this valley, that we would have some consistency up and down, not only with this valley, but our whole region. It'll surely make our job a lot easier with the stormwater permits as they go through their phases. And I hope that you have all these instituted before your permit time runs out, Rob. And
Well, in follow-up to that statement by Mr. Jeffries, my question then is, has this delay in getting your swamp updated and presented to us affected any of your other milestones that you need to be completing within the swamp, within the permit? You thought that you could update this, you know, within a six-month period. It turned out, you know, this was, you had to start from scratch. With limited resources, you've had to shift your attention. And I'm kind of curious, how are you doing with the other permit requirements?
I think that's a great question. And I would like to ask that the board allow us to see, I think it, the, for their deadlines, for example, even in the first notice of violation, that are obsolete now, given just the reality of how the process is working with the various moving parts. I think the permit itself had a whole bunch of requirements in the first 2 years, and then introduces even some additional further things in years 3, 4, and 5, and perhaps. You could give us an opportunity to review those and make a recommendation or request that some of those be adjusted so that they are, you know, again, meeting your objectives of getting the various tasks accomplished and concepts into the community, but also getting us out of the situation of counting the days of, you know, how many days you're in violation of a permit. That's just not productive.
Well, that's what the code requires us to do. if we want to impose any violations.
I understand.
So that's why it's not nitpicking, but you know, that's kind of the black and white of the regs that we follow. So it sounds like there may be some problems with other deadlines, which I would be expected if you had to shift
again,
resources.
Again, I don't have all of those before me right now, but I think that is a valid concern, and I would like, personally, I like to have a plan that I can, that is a realistic plan that I think I have a shot at meeting, and that's ambitious, but also feasible. It's not useful to anybody to have some pie-in-the-sky deadline of let's turn this in next week, and then it's a piece of junk. I mean, we want to give you quality, and our council and our residents deserve, good material from us on these subjects. But to do that, just the whole process of producing documents, having the city comment, having the staff comment, having the consult, having the public comment, it's invariably sort of a 60-day cycle.
I understand. Let me say this from my own personal perspective. It's not the board's, sense of this, but, we do have a legal obligation to look at the permit, certainly at the end of the five-year period.